Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Ed Staffel, and you're listening to the Dr. Staffel program and Your Smile Matters on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I hope you're listening to Randy Adams, who just finished up. He really has some good things to give us guidance. And this is the Dr. Staffel program and Your Smile Matters. We have a podcast. The podcast site is staffelDDS.podomatic.com. We have 7 years archived in that site. And then there we have a website, sanantoniodentist.net. So we've got a lot of information today, and we have a lot of information in those entities, the podcast and the website. But then I always like the phone lines, and the phone lines are open and don't have a guest. And the phone number is 599-5555, of course. And I welcome your questions and comments and your participation. If you have a question of a dental nature that you've been trying to get some information on or make a decision on, give me a call. And I will give you some information on what you have there. And today I have an interesting, quite a bit of interesting information, so stay tuned. Now, the Dr. Staffel program is on every Sunday, 4 to 5, here at KTSA, and you can listen to the show on a smartphone anywhere that you have a phone reception. Just call my office, the office of Dr. Staffel and McLinn, and that number is 210-341-2569, 210-341-2569, and talk to Beth or Priscilla or Addie, and they can quickly teach you how to use your smartphone to listen to my program on KTSA. So you, anywhere you'll have a that you have reception for your phone, you can also use your smartphone to listen to any archived podcast. That's pretty cool, huh? I'll tell you, the technology now is just it's getting most amazing. So it makes it very easy to review details that you've previously heard if you're had something on a podcast. I've got over 7 years archived on that. And, of course, I've been on the radio about 17 years, so we have a lot of information accumulated and a lot of great guests. And so don't hesitate to give us a call if you have a question or you have some want some information or you want to comment. You know, I get a lot of information from my patients, and also listeners that send me material. They're sharp-eared, and they'll hear something or sharp-eyed, and they'll see something that I've had a comment on, and I get a lot of material from people who just want to pass on information. So I welcome you to do the same thing, and, of course, the number is at my office, Dr. Staffel and McLinn. It's 210-341-2569. The number is 210-341-2569. And so keep that in mind. We can help you put a phone app on, a KTSA phone app, so you can listen to this show or anything that KTSA has anytime that you want or anywhere that you want that you have phone reception. So that's, I think that's so amazing. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was skiing at Winter Park, Colorado, and thank goodness for Neo 40. And now it's going to be known as Human In. And what a great product. Researched and developed and patented by the University of Texas Medical School, the Health Science in Houston. And it uses a proprietary mix of beets and hawthorn to produce nitric oxide, which is a true miracle molecule that you may have heard Dr. Nathan Bryant, who's been on many times on this program. And you can also pull him up on the podcast. He has amazing, amazing information. And this is the nitric oxide is resulting in improvements in the aging process. And you know, I mentioned my skiing because I was at Winter Park, Colorado, and that's at 9,000 feet above sea level. Now, keep in mind that Denver's a little over 5,000. This is at 9,000 feet above sea level. And then when you go skiing, you're on a mountain and you're going 10 to 11,000 and even up to 12,000 above feet above sea level. And at an altitude, the oxygen level, it's less than San Antonio, I'll tell you. It diminishes quite readily. And so you really need a lot of wind in your sails, as their saying goes, to function on skis at that height. Well, I'm here to tell you Neo 40 is phenomenal, and it does what it is advertised to do, and that is causing your blood vessels, capillaries and veins and arteries to enlarge 30% and more to provide more oxygen to your whole body. Nitric oxide is recognized as a key to healthy aging, and with the Neogenis, oh my gosh, we use it also for our patients when they're having dental work done, as it's very helpful for lowering blood pressure. And it does so many things. So I've had, you can go on to neogenis.com, find a lot of articles on that online. It's a very heavily researched molecule, and cardiologists are really embracing it as well. So let me go to the phone here for a minute and talk to Olga. Olga, how are you?
Good, yes, sir. I've been listening to your program for a while.
Okay.
And you do give good information, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
And a while back, you mentioned a book. It was called A Chronic Cough Dilemma.
Called what?
My question to you.
The book was what?
I do see people around me. I just want to ask you, and then I'll get off the line, and you can answer when I hang up. But the question is that valid, beneficial? Because I do see people around that I come into contact with different problems with reflux. Some of it is just slight coughing, and some of it more serious.
All right. Now, what is your question, though? You said,
Is that a benefit to me? What can we glean from that book?
The book again? Give me the title.
The Chronic Cough.
No, I never did that one. That's another show. I'm sorry. I never did that one. I do not have that book.
You have not read it?
No, I do not even have it. I have not heard of it.
Wow.
Called The Chronic Cough. I'll have to look it up.
Okay, well then, I don't listen to a lot of shows.
Yeah, well, that's all right. And the thing about it is, anybody that has a chronic cough, it needs to be figured out what it is, because with the tuberculosis, which is coming on board, then especially the drug-resistant tuberculosis that doesn't respond to medication or pharmaceuticals, that could be, and it could be a cancer type of thing. It could be nothing at all. It's very important that if anybody has a chronic cough, they need to get a medical checkout and find out what the problem is. I do not have any remedies for that at all.
What about reflux?
Reflux is a little bit different, and of course that can be contributing to a chronic cough. And one of the best things for reflux is vitamin B12, amazingly.
How does that help?
What's that?
I mean, how does the B12 work to resolve the problem?
Well, it doesn't always do it, but B12 is very important for digestion, but unfortunately with our the way people have a genetic misprint, they don't get the B12 because it has to be carved out of meat and protein. And so supplementing with this helps a whole lot, and it helps with the production of the acid. Now, there's two views on that, and one of them is that you really need more acid, not less. The advertising is real heavy about getting you on supplements like Nexium and so on that depresses acid. But then there's another view that holds actually you need more acid in order to shut the sphincters off that allow the food to pass and also keep it from regurgitating.
So you're talking about
hydrochloric acid.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And, of course, it's real easy to check that out. One of the things that you don't want to do is to eat Tums. A lot of people will eat Tums, but they're so full of sugar that they really dissolve your teeth away in a bad, bad way. And also, reflux is very important from a dental standpoint because that acid will dissolve the teeth away. Stomach acid is about a pH of 1.5, which is extremely acid. And teeth dissolve at 5.5 pH. So if a person has a lot of reflux, and especially at night when they lie down, it can be a very devastating thing to the teeth by dissolving the teeth away and promoting decay and creating dry mouth. And then, of course, another factor involved in that is sleep disordered breathing, where a person has sleep disordered breathing like snoring and apnea where you hold your breath. There is a connection there. But the key thing is, anything that's chronic like that, you really want to pay attention to it because there are long-term consequences that are not good, and especially for your teeth is in relation to the GERD or the acid reflux. So those are things that you can look at real carefully. Weight is another thing that causes the reflux on the belly fat, because it pushes on the diaphragm, and then as you breathe, that creates a negative pressure, and that acid is sucked into the lungs, and that can create a chronic cough. It can create problems of that type. The pneumonia, depending on how old a person, older people die a lot of, the trigger for a lot of older people's death is pneumonia. And that pneumonia, Klebsiella pneumonia, bacterium lives in the gums, infected gums. That's another reason for making sure you have healthy teeth and healthy gums, because the Klebsiella pneumonia takes a lot of people out, especially as their immune system as they get older and their immune system gets knocked down. So all of these things need attention. And they need attention from a dentist and from a physician as well, because they're tied together, because they're very close together. Okay.
Thank you for your help.
You bet. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, I was talking about the Neo 40. Oh gosh, it's such a valuable molecule, and they're finding so many other things that it does. It helps really slow down the aging process, and it's a unifying force between the three cellular anti-aging processes. And addressing low nitric oxide levels is a critical first step to support healthy aging. That is telomerase activity that's linked to health and longevity. And nitric oxide supports the enzyme that protects our genes, the DNA, and the mitochondria. These little cellular components are like a spark plug. Then it increases energy production, and the nitric oxide protects, regulates, and even increases our body energy factors. But the really big thing they found out is it mobilizes stem cells, and it's linked to success of stem cell therapy. Nitric oxide controls stem cells in the process of healthy cell regeneration. So by bypassing the body's broken nitric oxide pathways, and what I mean by that, after the age of 40, everything really starts dropping down as far as the production of nitric oxide. And when you get to be 50 or 60, you really have severe shortages of nitric oxide. It's just natural components in every cell in the body. So the Neo 40 allows nitric oxide to be formed in the mouth when you have a healthy, clean mouth where it can penetrate the oral tissues to reach the whole body. And so Neo 40 is really something. Of course, I began talking about it in relation to when you go up into high altitudes. I've been around people who have altitude sickness when they get up into altitudes of 8, 9, 10,000 feet, and it's a very unpleasant thing. It ruins their day. They get nauseous. They get very sick. And, of course, in multiple cases, I've been around people who had this, and I was able to give them the Neo 40, and it clears up the altitude sickness in just a very short time. So it's a great molecule. You can go online and find out a lot about it, and cardiologists are embracing it. It's something that's very, very key to healthy aging. And we're all in line for healthy aging and getting more information on that. So, and we use it on our patients when they're having dental work done, as it's very helpful for lowering blood pressure. After a period of time, most people can have a much lower blood pressure and can sometimes, with their physician's help, work off of blood pressure medications. Of course, there are other factors, such as kidneys, kidney blockage or kidney malfunction that causes blood pressure spikes, and also sleep disordered breathing. We've talked a lot about that. We'll talk about that shortly. So the key thing is we try to bring these things out that can help you. And give you as much information as possible. Now, along this line of oxygen that we're just talking about, oxygen is, the brain is an oxygen hog, and so is the heart. And the brain is in charge of survival. So it's going to do everything and make every kind of move to protect the brain and the heart and make sure there's enough oxygen. So along this line of oxygen, I've talked on this program many times about sleep disordered breathing. And sleep disordered breathing is anything like making any kind of noise when you're breathing or snoring or person holding their breath. And it's interesting, in my demographic and patient base, the research is coming out stronger and stronger. Now, I've been making these MADs. MAD is a mandibular advancement device. And you see them advertised on television. And we've been making these custom-made for decades. And there's so much research has come forth recently about having proper breathing clearance of the airway when sleeping. And so I've stepped up our dental examination covering this condition because so many medical problems are tied to this breathing component. And there can be a dental solution. So you can be assured when you visit our office, that's Dr. Staffelin McLinn, your examination will have a sleep disordered breathing component. And our office number is 210-341-2569. And 210-341-2569. Now, the medical conditions that are connected to sleep disordered breathing are a major cause for concern. And when corrected, it can improve your health so much. And for instance, it's been discovered that 87% of people who have strokes have sleep apnea that's holding your breath. 83% of people who have drug-resistant high blood pressure have sleep apnea, and the list goes on, in atrial fibrillation, diabetes. It's just huge. So that's why I have been working along this line, but I've really, with the new research, it's just pouring out, and there is a major effort to get this message out to the public because so many people are being treated for particular medical conditions, and it's a mechanical condition that is blocked or partially blocked pathway of breathing into the trachea and into the lungs. So dentists have a huge, can be a huge help along this line. So keep in mind that in our office, Dr. Staffel and McLean, and you have a new patient exam, you're going to get a very thorough examination on sleep-disordered breathing. And so in Texas, dentists cannot diagnose this health problem, but we can screen for it and then make the proper referral to a board-certified sleep doctor. And our dental exam may include a home screening device that you wear for 2 nights. And from this data, we can make a very accurate screening decision for sleep-disordered breathing. And if it warrants, we can refer you to a board-certified internal medicine sleep doctor. So it's just interesting to note that a number of serious medical conditions can be improved just with proper nighttime oxygenation, and this is done without pharmaceuticals. That's something to think about. And age is not a factor. The problem runs from infants to the elderly. In fact, one group that I work with, they have one adult sleep doctor and 4 sleep doctors for infants and children and adolescents, and it has to do with a lot of the child's development factors, brain factors, and at-risk factors. So this is a serious problem, and it hasn't gotten the attention that it needs to be getting. So that's why I've had Dr. Grunspan on, I've had Dr. Jose Barrera on. Both these are board-certified physicians that are in this field. And on the program, and I just, when we're seeing it more and more, and I went to a program in Houston not too long ago, back in October, and it was on this, and it was on the dental appliances, the dental aspect of sleep-disordered breathing, and of course, I had never had a sleep study, and I felt like I was okay, even though I'd been told once or twice that I'd am snoring at sometimes. I thought, well, it's just when I'm really tired or so on. But I took this home screening, device, and lo and behold, I did have sleep disordered breathing. So then I went to the sleep doctor and did a lab sleep study, and sure enough, I do have that. And so I'm wearing a CPAP now, and that's where the mask. It is a very cleverly designed, very well-engineered device that wears, they have multiple designs, but this particular one that I have fits over my nose and mouth. And the air is very unique in the way it's designed. And I feel so much better having this. And I can't say enough about the process. Now, one of the problems that you get in with this is that about anywhere from 40 to 50% of people who have the mask, CPAP mask, won't wear them. They won't adjust to them. And it took some adjustment for me to get used to it. And as a result, then if the diagnosis is a mild or moderate sleep breathing disorder, that's when a dental appliance can be very effective. And so also there's another component of oral surgery or redesigning the shape of the palate can be very effective. And that's when I had Dr. Jose Barrera on. He's triple board certified. He's one of the best in the country to explain those particular conditions. So there are multiple ways to address this problem. But the interesting thing, the takeaway is that you can have this correction that can have a big effect on your medications, lowering your medications, and it can have a big effect on how you feel, your energy levels, and it's just quite remarkable. And along that line, the average number of prescription medicines older people take is 14. And 55% is the percentage of older patients in a survey who admitted to not taking their medications as directed. And 30 to 40% decrease with age in the rate of which drugs may be absorbed and metabolized by the body. The point is, there's a lot of problems with pharmaceuticals, especially when you're taking so many of them, like this number. 14 is the average number of prescription medications taken by older people. Now, what is the age number? It didn't say that in the article. This was by John White, MD, Director of Professional Affairs and Stakeholder Engagement at the FDA. So they've done a lot of study on this. And as I mentioned, another change is how your body metabolizes medication. So the point is, anytime that you can get off a medication or you can reduce the medication, it's to your great value. And you can do this if you have a diagnosis of sleep disordered breathing. This is all mechanical. This is not involving any pharmaceuticals. It can make a huge difference in the amount of drugs you take and what you're taking and the results, and also have an effect on your longevity. So keep that in mind. We really have zeroed in on this, and the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine have zeroed in on this. They're trying to get this information out to the public as much as possible because it's a huge problem. There are millions and millions and millions of people who have this problem, and it's something that can be corrected mechanically, and that's the neat thing. And then the other neat thing is that Medicare and insurance companies generally are very supportive in paying for these examinations and systems, so that you can get get a lot of help from that end of it. So it's all about oxygenation. Oxygenation to the brain, oxygenation to the heart. And I saw an interesting statistic. And this was a cardiologist. And he said that out of 100 people that have a heart attack, out of 100 people, let me put it that way, out of 100 people, 34 are going to have a heart attack and die before they get to the hospital. 14 out of the 100 are going to make it to the hospital, but they're going to die in the hospital. And 2 are going to get into the hospital and get out of the hospital and die after they have they get out of the hospital. So what that's saying is that 50% of the people who have a heart attack are going to die, whether they, those are pretty strong numbers, because cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer. So that is, let me read again, 100 people, out of 100 people, 34 are going to die before they get to a hospital. 14 are going to die in the hospital. 2 are going to die after they get to the hospital and leave the hospital. So that's 50 out of 100 in heart attack situations. Not good numbers. So, age is not a factor in this sleep disordered breathing. It happens from infants to the elderly. And if you have a, if you have any suspicion of it, or if you've been told you snore, if you hold your breath or so on, I urge you to really get serious about getting this looked at, diagnosed, and take appropriate actions. It can make a huge difference in your health. Just huge. So, and this is all without pharmaceuticals. All done without pharmaceuticals. So this is something to think about. Gee. And now, I regularly incorporate news items in this program that I think are helpful in a person's daily decision-making. And the following is one such item. And this comes from the Japan Geriatric Society in their nutrition workshop for doctors in Tokyo. And this was in December 17th and 18th and 2016. And the interesting thing is I see so many of my patients. I've seen them for many years. My demographic is runs through a wide range of patients. We have a lot of elderly patients. We see a lot of them that get going through frailty. And so this is why this news item came across my desk, and I really became interested in it. Because there's a dental component. We'll get to that in a minute. But they had this two-day, very large meeting, this workshop in Japan. Now, Japan, they have some of the longest live people in the country, or in the planet, in the world. So they pay a lot of attention to these things. So this is what they found, or what came out of this meeting in the Japan Geriatric Society in Tokyo on December 17th and 18th. Now, increasing attention is being paid to geriatric nutrition or dietary assessments based on the specific needs of the elderly. As recent findings have shown the importance of adequate nutritional intake in maintaining health. Masafumi Kazukoya, a professor at Nagoya University specializing in geriatric medicine, said globally, the philosophy for elderly health maintenance has been leaning toward good nutrition rather than medicine. For example, elderly people with kidney disease should not drastically restrict their protein intake unless their condition is severe, as limiting their protein consumption in the same way as a younger person may result in a loss of muscle mass even before the kidney deteriorates. And this would lead them to need nursing care. So when analyzing the reasons that people age 75 or older need geriatric, national geriatric nursing care, frailty was given as a reason for over 50%. That's geriatric nursing care over the age of 75. Frailty was the reason for over 50% for the need for national geriatric nursing care. And this was surpassing lifestyle diseases such as strokes, which were a reason for 30%. And you know, I already mentioned 87% of strokes, those people have sleep apnea, holding their breath, a problem with breathing. Masahiro Akishita, a professor of geriatric medicine at the University of Tokyo, said when elderly people follow dietary guidelines for the middle-aged and restrict their diet to be healthy, they become malnourished, causing more harm than good. To avoid frailty, it is necessary to consume the required amount of protein needed to preserve muscle mass. And that's the point of this whole study. When you age, your muscles turn to fat. Even if your weight stays the same, your ability to synthesize protein effectively also diminishes. The best proteins are animal proteins such as meat, fish, and dairy products. Doing muscular strength training in conjunction with proper protein intake can help to increase muscle mass and muscle strength, even for the elderly. Now, protein, we're talking about lean beef, lean pork, skinless chicken breasts, salmon fillet. Those are the proteins that they pointed out. It's also necessary to consciously eat vegetables as the intake of vitamins and minerals becomes even more important as we grow older. Getting sufficient dental care to allow you to eat for as long as possible is also key. Elderly people who are plump live the longest. Now, that's not talking about the severely obese. It's talking about plumpness. It's also recommended to eat nutritional supplements that are commercially available as a snack. Many elderly people still feel that it's best to eat sparingly when they become old, but I want people to know that the best way to avoid nursing care is adequate nutritional intake. And one of the talks about vitamins, because as you grow older, as Dr. White was talking earlier, as I mentioned, with age, absorption and metabolism by the body decreases considerably. And one of the best vitamins that I've found is a multi-food 3 all-purpose vitamin and mineral, and it's made with nothing, or all the vitamins and minerals are sourced from plants, natural sources. So this is something, it's made by Innate, Innate. It's one of the best vitamins that's around. It's a well-balanced vitamin and mineral, and it will really help with your keeping your nutrition up. And then as well, the key point, the key takeaway from this study from Japan is you maintain muscle strength by eating well. That's going to keep you from being frail, and that's going to keep you from having to go into nursing care. And, of course, with that is whatever exercise programs that you can do, but not giving up your eating protein. That's the whole takeaway from this. Protein, protein, protein. So I just wanted to pass that on. And keeping your teeth in order to be able to chew meats and protein is so terribly important. Now, the program that I had on last week, we talked about the fact that you can keep a tooth. A tooth is programmed and designed for you to last, for that tooth to last in a person for 80 plus years. And so we talked about what do you have to do to keep a tooth? Well, first of all, you have to get into the dentist. You have to get into the dentist regularly, and we have such great technology now to where we can find these problems that develop into teeth long, long before they become a problem, long, long before you have a crack in the tooth, or that you lose the nerve in the tooth, or you develop bone disease in the housing surrounding the tooth. The tooth, your teeth are designed to last you 80 plus years. I think that's really remarkable. And yet, we really haven't focused on that in dentistry for people that much. And I mentioned before, I look at my hand, and I know that when I go to sleep, my hand is going to be at work, having tissue regenerated, muscle regenerated, bone regenerated, nerve regenerated, and it's going to be replicated and look like my hand when I'm in the morning when I went to sleep. Your teeth do not have any capacity to repair themselves, to remanufacture themselves, to regenerate themselves. That's why they need help. And I just can't, we just have a hard time getting people to accept the fact that those, your teeth are not going to regenerate themselves. They're not going to remanufacture themselves. It's the tooth that you got when you're between 2 and 12 is the same tooth that's going to last you and can last you all of your life. And I have multiple patients who are in their hundreds, 103, 100, in their late 90s, and they have all their teeth, and they've taken care of them. So come on in, give us a call. It's Dr. Staffel and McLinn, and let us help you design a plan and manage a plan and show you how to manage keeping your teeth for your 80-plus years of tooth retention. And we can, you don't have to have everything done at one time. You can have things done segmentally. And the key thing is you've got to act on it. That tooth cannot repair itself. And like we were talking about, just the stomach acid or acids in soda waters, acid in certain candies, and acids produced by bacteria. They're very, very destructive on teeth. And one of the biggest problems, of course, is sugar. Sugar causes cardiovascular disease. The reports are coming up now that they've known this since 1968, that they had reports on the problems of sugar and cardiovascular disease, and it's coming out now, and I can't stress enough from a dental standpoint how damaging sugar is to teeth and taking those teeth out and causing them problems. So, just want to, I want you all to think about what we're talking about. Your health is so important. Staying out of a nursing home and keeping from being frail. These are some things you want to keep in mind. Now, another thing in regard to vitamin supplements, I know a lot of physicians will tell you that they're not too much on vitamin supplements, but interesting report by the Texas Biomedical Facility reported a few years back. Then they recommended vitamins for age-related macular degeneration. And the vitamins that they recommended, that studies found that patients at risk for developing an advanced form of age-related macular degeneration lowered their risk by about 25% when treated with a high-dose combination of vitamin C, vitamin E, beta-carotene, and zinc. And age-related macular degeneration is predicted to increase by more than 50% by the year 2020, substantially increasing the societal health burden. It's common in those older than 50 years of age, and it's the leading cause of vision loss in older adults. So, vitamins do have their place, and I think ophthalmologists are using this more and more, vitamins and these studies to help people with age related macular degeneration. So the expected increase in the number of older individuals in the population that have AMD is predicted to increase by more than 50% by the year 2020, just around the corner, substantially increasing the societal health burden. So, just another little item about vitamins and the whole system. They're awfully good, and that vitamin that I recommended, Innate, I-N-N-A-T-E, it's a super vitamin and mineral, and well worth taking a close look at it. Now then, some interesting things are coming out. For instance, we have a report that cannabis, of course it's cannabis being marijuana, is already legal in many states, and it's probably going to sweep through the country. It has a problem with creating periodontitis, which is loss of the bone of the gums. Periodontal inflammation and bone loss are manifestations of periodontal disease. And such factors as smoking, we've always known that smoking is well studied, and smoking is identified as a significant risk factor for both severity and extent of periodontal disease through impairing the immune system and compromising the tissue's healing ability. But now, some epidemiological studies and clinical reports suggest a relationship between cannabis, smoking, and periodontal disease. So this is something that has been swept under the rug. We got rid of smoking, attacked the smoking manufacturers, and here we go into another problem, and especially one of the problems with the cannabis is that it apparently has quite an effect on the teenage and younger brain and brain development. So, just wanted to pass that on, if to be aware of what's going on, especially if this has to do with yourself or with has to do with your children or grandchildren and so on. There is a dental connection, especially among young adults. Now then, there's another thing that if you have a mouth ulcer, and this is why we so strongly try to get you to spend some time and make sure and carve out some time to see the dentist, and see a dentist every 6 months at least, because there are oral conditions, ulcerative conditions that are showing up, and there are primary ulcers, there's solitary versus multiple ulcers, and there's acute versus chronic ulcers. Chronic being more than 3 weeks. Acute, less than 3 weeks. So what I'm talking about is in the herpes system, herpes 1, there are 8 classifications of disease. And one of the big problems is Epstein-Barr virus. And a precursor to that is mononucleosis, so-called the kissing disease, because it's transferred so easily. And the point is, oral ulcers, most ulcers are self-limiting. That is, if you have a ulcer in the mouth, most of them are self-limiting, and healing should be within 10 to 14 days. And if you're not getting healing in that length of time, you need to have this looked at, because we have, especially with the, fortunately, it's not a, at first we thought it was a big thing with the bisphosphonates, like Fosamax, and the bone osteoporosis, bone-generating drugs. We found that it's not that big of a problem as far as causing bone poor healing. There is a bigger problem if you have bisphosphonates that are injected, that is, if they are IV. So back to the diseases. You've got reactive diseases that can cause an oral ulcer. You have infectious diseases, which can be bacterial, which is tuberculosis, syphilis, and mucus patch cankers. Then there are fungal infections, and there are viral infections. A chronic ulcer caused by what's called cytomegalovirus and Epstein-Barr positive mucocutaneous ulcers. And then, of course, in the very end stage is a squamous cell carcinoma, and others such as lymphoma, salivary gland carcinoma. So the point is, and it's real simple, if you have an ulcer that's in your mouth, and you either have a solitary and you have no previous history of similar ulcers, that's good. It should be gone in at the most 14 days, 10 to 14 days. If you have multiple ulcers, then it's going to change, and we're going to take another closer look at that. If you have acute ulcer, acute pain, duration should be less than 3 weeks. If it's chronic duration, that's over 3 weeks, you need to get that checked out, and don't hesitate, because you can be dealing with a malignancy, or you can be dealing with a bacterial or fungal or viral infection, and it can also be reactive, and all of these can destroy the bone housing of your teeth, that tooth that's supposed to last and is designed to last 80 plus years. But these ulcers can make a difference in taking the bone housing, that's the bone that supports the teeth, it can take that out real easy. Now, this Epstein-Barr is the most common herpes group of virus to infect the human population, and more than 95% of the human population is infected with Epstein-Barr, resulting in lifelong latent infection. And it can be a real problem. I know of one person who worked worldwide in the oil industry, and he became crippled with the Epstein-Barr, and no particular way of reversing that. And so the point is, if you have an ulcer, lasts more than 14 days, don't mess around. Get it examined. Find out what is causing it, and we can do a differential diagnosis and get it. If it doesn't clear up, then we go to a biopsy and send it to an oral pathologist and make sure that you're clear. Thank you so much for listening. Hope I brought some information to you. I'm sorry I didn't get to some callers. I'll try to, if we take those numbers, Chris, I'll try to get back to them. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.